Hey, this is Cap, and thank you for listening to the Cap & Company podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
It's Cap & Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap & Co. and ESPN _ Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen.
Welcome in to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black along with Brian Hanley sitting in for David Kaplan today. You can follow Brian on Twitter, Brian Hanley 534. I'm at Chris Black. We're here till noon and lots to get to today. We're going to start the show talking Blackhawks. They lost last night 4-3 to the Golden Knights. Fantastic game, not in the way for the Blackhawks, but it was a fun game to watch, and we're going to also talk some Cubs. But we have breaking news this morning, Brian, as we see that the Chicago Bulls have fired Jim Boylan after two seasons. Jim was 39-84 without a playoff appearance as the head coach of the Chicago Bulls since taking over in December of 2018. So, great news for Bulls fans this morning waking up here in Chicago.
Yeah, no doubt, Chris. I mean, you said it. You know, what took so long when you look at 39-84 and 22-43 in what was going to be a playoff season, according to the Bulls brass, didn't play out that way. You know, look, Jim Boylan probably cares more than most coaches, but that doesn't get you championships, doesn't get you a playoff spot. So now the hunt goes gets serious about who's going to be that coach that gets you to the playoffs, let alone a championship. And, you know, how attractive is this job to NBA assistant coaches or current coaches as far as that goes?
Well, I would imagine, you know, riding the tidal wave of good vibes when the organization made the changes they did, bringing in Karnišovas, bringing in Eversley, and then also riding off of the idea that, you know, the Bulls used to be the marquee franchise in the NBA. Jordan, Pippen, the Dynasty years, The Last Dance, a documentary on ESPN was getting 6 share ratings. I mean, it was, I get that there were no live sports, but people love the Chicago Bulls and they loved those championship teams. So like all of that good momentum here in the offseason, it seemed to start to fizzle as the summer went on because every Bulls fan looked around and said, wait, hold on. There's all these good vibes, and you're telling me that Jim Boylan is still going to be the head coach? So I think the fact that finally it's over and you can move forward as a Bulls fan, this is a completely fresh start. And I think it's something that Bulls fans would be waking up today thinking, like, finally, this franchise can set in the right direction, and they can kind of get on pace with some of these other teams in the Eastern Conference who compete for Eastern Conference championships. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not necessarily a guarantee that this team's going to be in the running for NBA championships, but they shouldn't be below the 4th or 5th seed on a yearly basis in the Eastern Conference.
Well, it used to be their biggest obstacle was the shadow of Michael Jordan. No one wanted to play, you know, no one wanted to see that statue as they walked into the arena or pulled up to the arena every night. And that supposedly was their biggest obstacle when they're courting LeBron and D. Wade at the time, when, you know, there were dreams of getting not one but two guys in free agency and you settle for Carlos Boozer. But then it's become, you're challenged, frankly, just challenged in free agency because no one wants to come to this organization. And you end up just getting cast-offs or overpaying guys that really aren't superstars. And so you had to find a different way to do it. You know, hopefully with this new administration, there is buzz around the league and you know, that buzz gets furthered by finding the correct coach to take him to the playoffs. I mean, I remember covering that team. I remember being there Christmas Eve day when Scott Skiles got fired and he was walking out when we were walking into practice and someone said, I think Skiles just got fired. And like, what? They're on the practice floor, but sure enough, he had just gotten fired. And, you know, when you look at this organization, they've been flailing. I mean, as much as John Paxson used to tell us, we judge ourselves by championships around here. Well, those trophies have been collecting a lot of dust since 1998.
Yeah, absolutely. Arturs Karnišovas. So this is from Adrian Wojnarowski. So the next part of this is, where do the Bulls go from here? And Bulls fans, if you want to join us, 312-332-3776. We'll take your phone calls. Here's what Woj says. AK makes the change on Boylan and will start a search right away for his replacement. Among the expected to be considered, Denver assistant West Unseld Jr., former Brooklyn coach Kenny Atkinson, Toronto assistant Adrian Griffin, and Bucks assistant Darvin Ham. Yeah. So Darvin Ham, I've heard a lot about. People love him in the league. And if you look at the Bucks coaching tree from Budenholzer, a lot of those guys have moved on to other head coaching roles. So I would watch Darvin Ham. And the other thing to kind of bring up with this conversation is with Adrian Griffin.
Yeah.
Now, he's a name that I thought all along would have an inside track at this gig. There is a story on ESPN.com today. Raptors assistant Adrian Griffin denies ex-wife's domestic violence accusations. So there is a column there. He's denied. She went on social media and posted that Audrey Griffin posted that he repeatedly abused her. He is denying those claims. As of right now, the Raptors are standing by him and the league is standing by him. So that is, I think, something that I just have to mention if we're going to put Griff's name out there, because that is in the news. And I know people saying, who could be the next head coach? That's going to come up in the conversation as well.
Well, Chris, I covered Adrian when he was a player with the Bulls. And I mean, the allegations that his ex-wife makes are specific and horrific if they're true by any stretch of the imagination. He also vehemently there's no wiggle room in his denial. He just said it didn't happen. And to this point, the Sixers are basically standing by him until they figure out what exactly is fact and which is fiction here. But that is not the Adrian Griffin I know. And I love talking basketball with him, and I learned a lot. And I always thought he was going to be a coach someday. But if any of that's true, and again, you just know the person that you see in front of you, don't necessarily know their private life, any of us. So, you know, we'll find, can the Bulls even wait for that to play out? Can they even entertain Adrian as a candidate as much as they may like to, given these allegations? Because, as I said, I mean, her allegations about being punched when she was pregnant and dragged across lawns. I mean, he should be facing charges if that's true. Again, his denial is complete, and he's not. I mean, there's no gray area. He said it never happened.
Yeah. So the Raptors said they will let the full process play out, and as of right now, he's still with the team in the NBA bubble. But it is something that has to be brought up because she posted it to Twitter. As you said, repeatedly abused, choking, throwing her against a wall, which then left a hole in the wall, dragging her across the lawn. So terrible stuff. And, you know, like, Brian, here's the thing. Whenever a domestic violence accusation comes up, it is easy to say, I know that person.
Right.
And they're a good person to me. But you don't know, like you said, you don't know what happens behind closed doors. So I think because his name's going to be involved in this coaching search, I would imagine if there any remote part of this is true, he will not be involved in this coaching search and the Bulls will not be looking at him. But it just needed to be brought up because it is a story on ESPN.com today.
Well, and again, the bigger picture is, how attractive is his job with the new administration, the new direction? We know they now pay coaches. You know, one of the old axioms in the NBA was that Jerry Reinsdorf didn't want to pay someone to coach, and he certainly didn't want to fire people and have to pay them after the fact. But when Fred Hoiberg got $25 million of Jerry's money, that seemingly is no longer an issue. They will pay for top talent, and I assume that they would not have, you know, got the best out there in terms of running this team if they were going to still handcuff the new president by saying, here's your budget when you go out and look for a coach.
312-332-3776. Chris Bleck, Brian Hanley, sing in for David Kaplan today here on Cap and Company, and you can listen to us on the ESPN app. That's what Carl in Nashville is doing, and Carl is a long time Bulls caller here at ESPN 1000. We call in to all the post-game shows with Cash back in the day. Carl, what a morning. How about that?
I'm extremely excited. Thanks for the intro, too.
No problem, man.
Man, I am extremely excited about this, man. It's frustrating as a Bulls fan all these years, and it's kind of fun in a way because I get my team back, because you got to remember, most people weren't Bulls fans. They were Michael Jordan fans, and they just came along for the ride. And, you know, since it's been a little down, I look around and the bandwagon is a little empty right now. So I look forward to good things for whatever hire they bring in there. Hopefully they can get someone in there that's competent. Hopefully the GM team can bring in players and put in pieces to the puzzle that can be competent, because it's kind of like they've been missing a little something. You know, it's kind of like you have a peanut butter sandwich with no jelly. You have to use honey instead. Yeah, it's okay, but it's not quite peanut butter and jelly. So hopefully they can get these things done from the general manager to the coach and turn the thing around, because it's still a good place to play basketball, and people want to come there. You have to give them, what I mean by people, free agents, you have to give them a reason to come there. You can't just say, well, we're the Chicago Bulls and we won championships in the 90s. That's not going to work anymore. It didn't work in the 2000s, so it's definitely not going to work in the 2020s.
Thank you, Carl. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you, guys.
So
at least he didn't put banana on the peanut butter and didn't go all Elvis on us.
I don't think I've ever done that.
So good.
No. Is it?
So
yeah.
Good.
JR's
with bacon.
Too.
Absolutely.
With bacon. Yes. Bacon,
well,
and banana?
Goes better with bacon. Dude, I mean,
trust
yeah.
me on this one. Don't knock it till you try it.
All right. I'll put that down for yeah. lunch today.
Yeah. Brian seems thrilled by that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, the one last thing with the Bulls here is I was hearing throughout this last couple of months of the pandemic, with Boylan around, this was really going to hurt them on the free agent market. It was yeah. going to hurt them with the players on their own roster. So with the organization, you have to be thrilled within the organization that now you have a fresh opportunity. You can go and land that guy who's a free agent looking to leave and join a different team. Like, you no longer have an impediment on the ability to go sign top-level free agents.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's completely solved their issues with free agency, but to your point, Chris, you know, look, Zach LaVine, you saw the look on his face when Jim Boylan, they were down 23 with 30 seconds to go, and he's calling a timeout to coach the kids up. I mean, that doesn't fly in the NBA. As much as if you're a purist and you like that idea that tough, hard-knock coach is not going to let anything slip, those yeah. guys just want to get off the floor and get in the locker room. So, you know, people around the league look at that stuff, right? You have to be a player's coach to a degree, if not completely, in the NBA. And, you know, when you start looking around at this thing, Joe Colley said, certainly we know that the players weren't Jim Boylan's biggest fans, even though he always said, oh, they're on board, they love everything we do here. That wasn't the case. And I think the new administration found that out when they talked to the so-called stars on this team. I love Joe Colley tweeting out also that he had a verbal run-in with a team chef, which might have been his undoing. That
how amazing is that?
If that's the one thing that finally sent him packing, God bless him. Yeah, the chicken, I told you, I want the skin on the chicken. All right, let's go.
Let's go to C. Red Fred. He called us at 312-332-3776. Fred, what's up, man?
Oh, what a day. The sun is shining. Seven pick and 17, seven
oh, yep,
pick
yep,
and 18.
Seven, yep, yep. Seven championships.
Seven letters in yep. Arturas. Yep. I just want to know, what do you think right now on the – well, first of all, I got to say one thing. What he did to Denzel Valentine this year was the most unprofessional thing I've seen in watching the Bulls for all these many years. Denzel Valentine deserved a lot better. I have no idea what he did to endear such dislike from a player. The guy clearly played favorites. He's a great guy. I met him several times. Very nice man.
Yeah.
But he's just not head coaching stock. He's on a guaranteed contract. You hate to see anybody lose their job in an environment like this, but let's be honest. He's not head coaching stock. He'll be a lifetime assistant, and I wish him the best. But to me, I want to focus on the future. Who do you guys – I'm really big on this assistant for the 76ers, who was also Duco. What do you think of him as possibly the next head coach of the beloved Bull?
Good point, Fred. Ime Udoku, he's the assistant for the 76ers. What I think is interesting, and he's a name that's been out there because he was an assistant for five sure. years under Pop in San Antonio, and now he's with Brett Brown with the 76ers. Brian, the thing I would point out is, why wasn't he included in Woj's original report today? Like, yeah. Woj knows everything about the league, and Udoku is not on his list.
Yeah, and the new boss, you would seemingly know him, right, pretty well?
He has a connection with Eversley, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, it would be obvious that he would be on the list. It is interesting. But, you know, again, being a San Antonio assistant, Jim Boylan didn't do you any favors because, I remember texting Casey Johnson like the first week that Jim Boylan was named head coach. I'm like, okay, he's limit up on references to Pop. Like every conversation he had with a reporter, he brought up Pop's name. Just because you're on the staff doesn't make you the next Pop. So, you know, it was time for him to put a lid on that. But we will see. We will see exactly what this field looks like and how quickly they have a hire. I can't believe the search is just starting today, no matter what they say. Yeah. I mean, they should have been looking around for the last month or two because they knew this day was coming.
I would imagine the reason you don't hear Udoka's name is because there might be a possible head coaching change in Philly.
Right.
And if that's the case, maybe he takes that job. So it's something to keep your eyes on. All right, we have a lot of phone calls here at 312-332-3776. We'll get you on the air. We also have a special guest coming up next.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Company, sports talk while you're on the clock.
It's Cap and Company, Chris Black and Brian Hanley sitting in for Cap today. The news this morning, the Chicago Bulls have fired Jim Boylan. Here's the latest from Adrian Wojnarowski on ESPN.com. He says, for now, Chicago's assistant coaching staff will remain in place to continue working with players at the team facility, sources say. Top assistants Roy Rogers and Chris Fleming are under contract beyond this season. So that's the news on the assistants. Boylan is out, and it's good news for Bulls fans today, Brian.
Yeah, I can't believe you're going to hamstring anybody. Look, if they want to retain some assistance, that should be up to the new coach. But I hope they don't give any prerequisite saying, okay, these two guys are staying because they're under contract. That would be a bad start, and it might eliminate some really quality people for that head coaching position.
I would imagine, especially those two, Roy Rogers and Chris Fleming, they have really good reputations around the league.
Sure.
So I'd imagine a new coach may want to keep them anyway, but yeah, you're right.
But it should be his choice.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Okay, a special guest is on the line, on the Corona hotline here on ESPN 1000. It's the final day of Cap and Company, and it wouldn't be a normal Cap and Company show without Cap coming on the show to give all the doubters a one final take that before he goes to mornings, 7 to 10 a.m. here on ESPN 1000 with Jay Hood. Cap, what's going on?
Good morning, boys. So, yeah, I've got today off. I'm up at a friend's lake house and got the news this morning. But, you know, Brian, Chris, this was a no-brainer, and this was obvious from the moment Arturas was hired. I kept screaming to you guys, this is going to happen. He was not well-liked by a lot of people there. He's a smart guy. He's got a good work ethic. He was never coming back. And this narrative that, you know, maybe because of the pandemic and the money, and the Reinsdorfs, and people get triggered when I say this, but it's the truth, are brilliant. They paid $15 million for a basketball team now worth $3.2 billion. They paid $16 million for a baseball team worth $1.5 billion. They weren't going to let $1.6 million to Jim Boylan stand in the way of doing the right thing. This had to happen, and it's a done deal, and it's a good day to be a Bulls fan.
Well, Sparkles, it should happen Monday morning, because then you'd be on the air when the news broke and you could respond to it, and that's why we're going to have a morning show.
That would have been really funny if the first day we were doing mornings, they handed us this golf ball and said, here, drive it right down the fairway 320 yards. But look, they just needed to cut ties with him. There is stuff that they know that they will never make public that did not paint Jim Boylan in a very good light. I know Joe Colley has referenced a run-in with the chef, and that's true. There is more to that. And look, Arturas is a smart man.
Hold on, Cap. What's more to that? What's the backstory there?
Too many carbs on the buffet?
I'm talking about other stories other than just the chef. There are things they were told, and again, they couldn't bring this guy back. The players didn't want him back. the narrative would have been the whole thing. The narrative would have been the Reinsdorfs are meddling. The Reinsdorfs don't want to do this. They're making our tourists do that. Michael and Jerry made it clear to him, you're running the show. It's your call. Jerry said to me one day, people think I meddle. He said, you think I would have allowed Hawk Harrelson to fire Tony La Russa? He's my GM. If I'm going to judge him on his record, I got to let him do what he's got to do. So Jerry does not meddle like that. I'm just telling you. He's just very loyal.
So, Cap, who
Cap, 39-84. I mean,
right.
This team was going nowhere. 22-43 in what was supposed to be a playoff year. And you said it, the players had tuned him out. They were not going to respond to, you know, the Hoosiers type coaching. That doesn't fly in the NBA anymore.
No, and again, you know, what he saw in San Antonio was a guy who's really intense and really, you know, holding people accountable, but he's also beloved down there in Greg Popovich. You can be intense and driven, and Pat Riley was as hard on his guys as anybody. You can do that if they look and go, all right, I'll put up with that because look at our record. We've won 60 games and we can win the title. When you're whatever you are, 30 and 4 billion, they're not going to tolerate it. He just did not have good standing in that room. And then all the other stuff added up to this was a no-brainer.
Cap, who are the names you're hearing?
I keep hearing Ime Udoka. I have been told for a while that it was never going to be Adrian Griffin. I have heard it is Ime Udoka. Now, they're going to have whoever it is, and they haven't made this decision and then said, all right, now what do we do? He already knows Arturs. He's a smart man. He already knows who he's going to hire. But I do not think it's going to be Adrian Griffin. I never thought it was going to be Adrian Griffin. Maybe I'll be proven wrong on that one. But I think it's going to be Ime Udoka. They were never going to bring Tibbs back here, although I think Tibbs would have taken this job over the Knicks. But that now that ship has sailed. I truly believe that Arturas went to Jerry and said, I have to make a change, period. And Jerry said, it's your shop now. Go ahead. Do what you got to do. So are they going to pay $5, $6, $7 million a year to go get whoever, the next Doc Rivers, some big name out there? I don't believe so, especially in the middle of a pandemic, especially with a team not ready to win. I think it's going to be somebody like Udoka. The assistant up in Milwaukee is very well regarded as well. There's a handful of guys. They'll get a good coach, and they'll start to build this thing the right way.
Well, and I'm with you, Cap. You know, we all knew this was coming. It was just a matter of when the official announcement came. So that tells you they've been doing their homework on whatever short list they have, and maybe it's a list of one, as you seem to indicate. If that's the case, how quickly do they make that coaching announcement and get moving forward toward whatever next season looks like?
I think, Brian, that's a really good question. Mark that down, Chris. I think that they had to wait because the Sixers are still playing. If it is Ime Udoka, if it's Toronto, it's Adrian Griffin, and now there's some other things that have popped up about him, right or wrong, that I think that they're going to let all this play out like they did with Jim, unless the guy they're going to hire is on a team that didn't make the playoffs and is sitting at home. Why would you go out and say, all right, it's the guy from the Sixers now, but he can keep coaching his team until he gets to our team? I just don't think that's what they're going to do. They've got two good assistants who are very well respected in the league. And, Brian, you're right. Whoever it is, if they offer the job to Chris Fleck, they have to let him pick his own staff. But whoever they hire is going to be someone Arturas and Mark Eversley, A, are comfortable with, B, they'll work in concert together. Like, and you can make all the jokes you want, but when Ryan Pace hired Matt Nagy, they worked in concert. Hey, Matt, what do you want? You want David Montgomery? All right, I'll go get him for you. Hey, Matt, what do you want for offensive line? Oh, you don't like Harry Hiestand? Well, who should we go get? They work in concert or the relationship's doomed from the start.
Cap, before we let you go, 7 a.m. on Monday morning, will you guys be talking about Game 5, Blackhawks and Golden Knights?
We will be talking about whatever is the hot story, but we'll be having laughs.
Hold on. Did you just dodge the Blackhawks question? I want to know, are the Hawks going to get swept out of the weekend?
I will say that they get swept out of the weekend.
Oh, okay. All right.
I thought they really, really played as hard as they could last night, so I think we'll be writing the epitaph, as they like to say, on the
okay.
Blackhawks.
All right. But 7 a.m., you and Jay Hood.
Ready to rock and roll, man. I'm just going to chill out this weekend, do a little fishing.
Oh, that's not possible.
Cap, any
do a little fishing.
Any final words to your 9 to noon listeners who are ready to wake up earlier with you at 7 a.m.? Any final take that? It's not going to end well for you, any of that?
Who told you last November that there was zero chance that they were keeping Gar and Pax as the front office? And then who told you Boylan would be gone? Take that.
Boom, pal. Take that, pal. All right, we will hear from you 7 a.m. on Monday morning, pal.
Looking forward to it. Congrats to you.
Thanks.
Brian, keep killing it. And I look forward to seeing you guys when I get back. I got to go put my pole in the water now.
What?
Easy now.
Phrasing.
That'd be fishing pole.
Okay, yeah. Fishing pole. All right. Right. Yeah. All right, thanks, Cap. David Kaplan, you will hear him and Jay Hood 7 to 10 a.m. every weekday morning starting on Monday.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Get blazing fast Wi-Fi with no curveballs. Xfinity X5 delivers the speed, coverage, and control you need for the ultimate in-home Wi-Fi experience that's built for baseball. Stay connected to the White Sox and reliability in fast speeds to stream every pitch and wall-to-wall coverage to watch anywhere in the house. All on a smarter, more secure network that keeps your entire lineup of devices connected and protected. This is beyond Wi-Fi. It's X-Fi. Xfinity, proud partner of the Chicago White Sox.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
There you go, Brian. One final take that from the Catman here from 9 to noon.
I'm sure we'll hear some more starting Monday at 7.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. And he told us he was going to go put his pole in the water.
Yes. He was baiting you.
Yes. Okay. So Monday morning, 7 a.m., you will hear Cap and Jay Hood. From 5 to 7, you will hear the new national morning show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. So you can start your mornings here on ESPN 1000 at 5 a.m. Carmen and Yurko will follow the guys from 10 to 2. 2 to 12 to 2, you'll hear Greeny, Mike Greenberg, back here on ESPN 1000. Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 6. And then at 6, the baseball show and Bleck and Abdallah from 6 to 8 with you evenings here on ESPN 1000. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin start the day off, but here's J. Will earlier today talking about the Bulls firing Jim Boylan.
It's about damn time. It really is. And look, 2 years ago, the players reported to the NBAPA about extreme tactics that were being used mm-hmm. by Jim Boylan at practice, suicides, pretty much saying, hey, you're not Greg Popovich, man. This is not the Spurs. You don't have the background to be doing these things. I've talked about this multiple times throughout the course of the years with this team. Zach LaVine has a chance to be a superstar. Kobe White and him should be playing together. I know they battled with some injuries. Wendell Carter was hurt. Some other things have happened with this team. But Jim Boylan was not the answer for the Bulls to get to where they want to go. This is a complete rehaul, and I'm glad that the organization has put their feet in the ground to make the call on firing Jim Boylan. I'm never one to call for a firing, but this was the right move. And I'm going to tell you, out of all the candidates that I heard, Mark Jackson is the answer. I know at Golden State, he has some issues with ownership, but look what he did from a player developmental standpoint with the likes of Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson. He was the first person to help them move in that direction. Now, Steve Kerr took it to a different level, but I don't care what anybody says. Mark Jackson was a guy to help build that infrastructure. It will be the same with the Chicago Bulls. They deserve a guy like Mark Jackson who can talk to Zach LaVine. I don't need to see Zach LaVine waving off Jim Boylan anymore because he doesn't want to pay attention to him. He would not do that with Mark Jackson. It's the same with Kobe White, Lauri Markkanen. The young talent is there. We just need the right coach in place to help that team ascend.
So that's Jay Will. You can hear him with Keyshawn and Zubin 5 to 7 a.m. every weekday morning starting Monday here on ESPN 1000. Brian, as I was listening to that audio, it felt like an M. Night Shyamalan film because for a lot of it, I was like, yeah, Jay Will, yeah, you're totally right. And then he suggests that Mark Jackson should be that coach for the Chicago Bulls. It turns into a horror flick halfway through the audio.
Yeah, here's hoping that's not going to be the hire.
Oh, man.
And we, you know, we've talked about it, too. I mean, Jay Will is saying what a lot of us are believing. You can't coach that way in the NBA anymore. And Pop had the you know, good luck to have a guy like Tim Duncan sign on. And when you get the star of the team to buy in, then you can start, you know, everyone else has to fall in line and follow suit. And if you have success, people say, okay, I'm willing to do the work and put in the extra time because it's leading to winning and we'd like to win. The whole idea that Jim Boylan was going to be the reincarnation of Pop without that superstar, you know, trying to keep the players in line and on program is difficult at best. And the other part of that thing is, when you look at it, Zach LaVine's not a superstar. Okay.
No.
He's a star. He's a star in the city because, you know, just look around. He's being paid like a superstar. I've had this debate with a lot of people who cover the Bulls, and they are higher on Zach LaVine than I am. He's a very good player, but he's not a guy who's going to, you know, you're going to build around to win a championship. And when he brings up Lauri Markkanen, I mean, how damning is the regression of Lauri Markkanen to Jim Boylan and his staff? I mean, he was supposed to take a big step forward, and he took a big step back. So there are a lot of issues here, and whoever comes in is going to have to clean up a lot of things. But the front office is going to have to get some true star power and find out a way to make the Bulls an attractive free agent destination. And to, you know, you need three stars. You need bona fide stars. You're going to win a championship. Now, the first thing you got to do is get in the playoffs. And that's, you know, that's step one, and that's going to take you some time. But the idea that Zach LaVine is the centerpiece of a championship team, I'm not buying.
John in Rolling Meadows, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, John?
Thanks, guys. Before I get to my question, who follows Cap and Hood at 10?
Carmen Yurko.
Yeah,
Carmen Yurko. 10 to noon.
Oh, okay. So they're coming on earlier.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I agree there with Brian that Markkanen's not, you know, not considered. I don't consider him the centerpiece of that team. But I, you know, my statement is, I think if I'm the president of the club, I'm sitting down with the GM, and we're going over names of prospective replacements now as a head coach. You want somebody in there that can relate with the youth on this team, straighten them out, you know, straighten out the team, and let everybody know from day one where they stand. This is a clean slate. Okay, we're going to start from square one with this team, and we're going to make this thing work. But in order for that to happen, we all have to be on the same page. We can't have, you know, people shaking their heads and walking away from the huddle. If this is going to work, it's going to take time. But we've all got to have each other's back on and off the court.
Yeah, thanks for the call, John. I wouldn't be worried about that. I mean, if they bring in a professional head coach, things are going to be fine. I think the problem was trying to get players who knew Boylan was a joke to buy into what they were trying to do last season. Now that he's gone, it's a different set of circumstances when you're looking at these players. Chris Bleck, Brian Hanley talking with you here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. We got to talk some Blackhawks, Brian.
And the Hawks finally get possession and get it out. Knights get back in there. Cousins. Now it's Henry Van Zandt. They score! Vegas wins the game. A redirect from Riley Smith. He scored twice in game one. He gets the GWG in game two.
So last night on NBC Sports Chicago, you hear Eddie Olczyk and Pat Foley, and the Hawks lose 4-3 in overtime, Brian, and they are now down 2-0 in the series. Do they have a shot to extend this series, or is this really Vegas? They're going to sweep the Hawks here.
They might win a game this weekend, but I wouldn't bet on it. So there is a shot, but no shot to win the series, obviously. And look, they were the last team in this modified tournament, and for good reason, because they still have a lot of issues, and they've run into a very deep team, a team with guys like Riley Murphy and Paul Stastny, who, you know, can score goals whenever they take a shot at the net. And it was good to see jump in their step and guys having fun. It was an entertaining game last night, Chris, no doubt. And I was on with Yerk and Jeff Miller the other day, and I said it really looked to me like guys like Kaner were frustrated with the attempt, the game plan going into game one, where it was all about discipline and not jumping in and not being, you know, playing fast and loose. They started playing fast and loose last night, and it was much more enjoyable to watch, and I think much more enjoyable for the team to play. And you saw some good results. Now, unfortunately, Jeremy Colleton made some, you know, he put the lines in a blender and the defensive pairings in a blender. And I was shocked that Boqvist was a healthy scratch, apparently. Said he just needed a day's rest. We'll see what that means. But, you know, Lucas Carlson, young guy, needs experience in the playoffs too. But Boqvist is the guy you really want to get experience. But he and Connor Murphy were on the ice for the first goal in the game winner. So, and they had some breakdowns in communication. So, a lot of warts there, but, you know, they gave it a pretty good shot. But when it comes to shots, 36 to 16 in attempts and 21 to 8 in scoring chances, that's not going to get it done in the final 27 minutes.
No, it won't. And you're right. In the second period, the offense did look like it was faster. It looked, you know, you have Doc, Kubalik, and Strome all getting goals in the second period, and then you get shut out in the third. And really, when you look at it, and the shot advantage to the Golden Knights, 39 to 25, you're not going to win these games getting outshot by that much. And especially with a team like the Golden Knights, who defensively, they're able to clear the puck, get it away from Leonard. And you see a situation where Corey Crawford has to make 35 saves, but he gives up four goals.
Yeah, and Chris, here's the thing. You know, as I was trying to verbalize with Yurka and Jeff, I'd rather go out playing my style of hockey. And again, whatever experience you get in the playoffs for these younger guys in particular, and you want the core guys to get another run at a Stanley Cup, long shot odds or not. But I, you know, it seemed like Jeremy Colleton and his staff came in with a game plan to just play to defend the Golden Knights game, you know, rather than to play their game. And yesterday it seemed, last night it seemed like the Hawks were playing more of their game and dictating at times. You know, Peter DeBeer, the head coach of the Knights, said, yeah, you know, we almost fell in the trap. I think Robin Leonard also said we almost fell in the trap of playing the Hawks game too much. So I'd rather go out trying to play my game than trying not to lose.
Do you want to see more from Patrick Kane? We'll hear from him next.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This hour of Cap and Company is brought to you by CBDMD. Discover the secret to everyday wellness, CBDMD. Superior CBD, superior you. Get 20% off when you enter the code WADDLE.
This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So far in the postseason, Patrick Kane has 6 assists, 1 goal, 7 points for the Blackhawks star. Brian Hanley, Chris Bleck singing in for David Kaplan today. Brian, when we look at Patrick Kane, his assist last night was awesome. But do the Hawks need more from him scoring-wise?
Sure do. And, you know, he has had a couple posts and tough luck. I mean, the team has had some tough luck when it comes to that, too, hitting the metal. But it never hurts, and Edzo said it last night, you know, safe is death in playoff hockey. And that's why I go back to, I think, Jeremy Colleton and staff's game plan was play it safe. And, you know, thoroughbreds want to run, and Patrick Kane wants to run. But Jonathan Toews said it after game one, we got to put pucks on net. We had grade A opportunities, he said, after game one and in game one, and they didn't fire the puck. They, you know, either too much skating or taking the extra pass or giving the extra pass. It was good to see Kirby Dach get into the net yesterday. He was flying around. He should have gotten some calls when he was upended. I don't know if the referees were, you know, figure rookie doesn't get that call. I think anyone should get that call when he's basically hooked from behind. But to your question, yeah, absolutely. Patrick Kane needs to be on the score sheet, not just with assists, but actual goals.
You know, he only had one shot on goal in the last two games.
Yeah,
in game one and last night. So here's Patrick Kane talking about overtime last night.
Yeah, I think we had a couple looks there. Cuckoo went in on the one. There's a puck laying there I probably could have got to. Stromer rang one off the bar there. Obviously, it would have been nice to see something go in there in overtime, but that's the way it goes, I guess. And would have been nice to have a better third period too, especially after we came back to tie it up and had a lot of momentum. Would have been nice to keep that momentum, especially early in the third going.
Patrick Kane continues on talking about the third period for the Blackhawks.
No, I mean, I thought we were playing really well the first two periods. And, you know, for whatever reason, it just seemed like they came out better than us in the third. I don't know if we thought it was going to be a little bit easier than it was, especially after we tied it up. But they're a good team. They're going to fight back. And they carried the play for most of that third, so we didn't really generate much.
So that's Patrick Kane last night. The Hawks have a back-to-back here for games 3 and 4. And you can listen to The Hockey Show starring Brian Hanley and Pat Boyle tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000.
And PB's going to join us before we get out of here at noon today. And we'll talk and get his take on last night's game and what needs to change in the back-to-backs over the weekend, Chris. And, you know, Vegas owns the third period. So to survive that third period and get to overtime was kind of a moral victory because they've outscored opponents 10-1 in third periods in the playoffs to this point. And 16-6 in shots, I mean, last night, 7-1 in shots in the overtime. You know, the Hawks really didn't give themselves a chance to put the puck in the net. So Vegas is a deep team, and they've got some great players. You know, when you look at Riley Smith, he came on the ice. You know, the Hawks were tired on the ice, and he jumped over the boards and had fresh legs on the game winner. So a lot of things went well for the Golden Knights last night. But as the game goes on, they get better.
There is so much going on in Chicago sports today. We're 5 minutes away from talking with Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune about the Chicago Bears and training camp. Allen Robinson spoke this morning already at about 8 o'clock a.m. He spoke, and he was asked, is the quarterback competition between Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky, is it awkward for the rest of the offensive players?
No, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not about who's best for me. You know, it's about what's best for the team. You know, so it's never awkward or anything like that. You know, again, like I said before, both of those guys are great teammates, you know. So it's not something that's difficult at all. You know, again, I mean, I've played with Mitch now for 3 years. Well, this will be the third year. You know, and as far as meeting Nick recently, you know, hearing a lot of different things from him, you know, being around him, you know, he's also a good teammate. You know, I think that's what makes this competition a little bit different than those other guys. You know, just even seeing how those guys communicate in meetings and stuff like that, you know, at the end of the day, the job is for us to be, you know, the best team and the best players that we can be, you know, so that's a challenge to ourselves. You know, it's not about any other player, you know, in the locker room, you know, even in our receiver room, it's not about any other, you know, receivers or anything like that. It's about for us individually, can we be the best players that we can be each and every day?
Allen Robinson at Hallis Hall this morning, he also talked about what he's seen Mitchell Trubisky improve on in this offseason.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, you know, I'm not a quarterback coach or anything. So it's kind of, it's hard to tell. I don't really know mechanics and stuff like that. But, you know, just as far as, you know, how you see him move around and, you know, how he throws the ball as far as, you know, being just more, you know, confident in everything. You know, I think, like I said before, that's the same thing with Mitch, you know, is, you know, as you're going into, you know, your fourth year, you know, the more football that you play, you know, you're able to slow the game down. You're able to slow a lot of things down. You know, and I can only imagine from a quarterback level because it's a lot more going on rather than just running routes and looking at leverages and corners and corners coverages and stuff like that. You know, so again, I mean, the more football that you play, the more stuff that you see, you know, that's kind of where you take your game to the next level. That, you know, a big portion of this game is mental, you know, and the more mental acumen that you can have, you know, on that field in between those lines, and the more information that you can retain and keep, you know, that helps you play a lot faster, you know. And I think as far as Mitch, you know, you can just tell that when he steps into the field, you know, when he steps onto the field, the things that he sees and stuff like that, you know, happens a lot faster, you know, and just, you know, his recognition and stuff like that, you know, which is fun to see. You know, like I said before, I mean, we have a young team, you know, so being able to see a lot of these guys develop over the past couple of years has been fun.
So that's Allen Robinson earlier. And once again, Brian, we have a coach or player for the Chicago Bears talking about Mitchell Trubisky. When he gets on the field, things are moving way too fast for him mentally.
Well, I'm not falling into the practice hall of fame that Mitch apparently is in. How many times over the last couple seasons, oh, that's his bread and butter pass. Yeah. He loves that. He hit every single one in practice this week, and then come Sunday, you know, what happened there, Mitch? Oh, I don't know. I killed it in practice. That's great. I mean, confidence, I mean, going into year four, It's time to show it during games. And it's just, you know, it's great that every, you know, Matt Nagy wants to tell you about all the positives and his approach. And, you know, we see the improvement. I can't buy, I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid anymore. I actually have to see it Sundays, and I have to see it consistently. I mean, this talk that, you know, he's been had a great off season or a great week of preparation, and then we get no points in the first half each and every week. No, count me out.
Wasn't the exact quote from Mitch is that he ripped it in practice all week?
Yes.
Ripped it in practice, but then somehow couldn't rip it in the game. Oy. In 2 minutes, Dan Witter will join us here on Cap and Company.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.